Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.
Welcome to The Wave Podcast. I am Danny Ortiz.
I feel welcome, brother. Michael Red.
The way you said brother was hilarious. Brother.
Brother, I feel welcome.
Oh, man.
I feel welcome. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. I'm doing, you're going to laugh when I say this because, you know, it's just me being funny, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. That's how I feel. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was empty and formless. It was a mass of darkness and the Spirit of God was hovering it. That's how I feel.
I don't know what to do with that, but just say amen. Amen.
I feel that no matter how much darkness, know that the Holy Spirit is hovering. I feel great, man. We've been at this thing, and I'm telling you, we are living in such a great time right now. For real, that's how I feel. I feel like every day is a new experience with the Holy Spirit, bringing us closer to Jesus. And showing us Jesus, and that's the best way I know how to say it, man. That's it. That's how I feel, for real.
That's life more abundantly.
100%. There's nothing else to it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's happening with you and I, but there's nothing but from the foundation of what the Holy Spirit is doing with us within our hearts.
Can you imagine any other overarching theme being the theme of your life than that? Can you imagine any other theme?
No. Truly, I can say no.
What would life be like without the Holy Spirit? Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I would look like most religious people. That was mean.
Look at you.
My God, it's already started. He set me up to be in trouble. Listen, I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody. I'm not saying nothing. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about it a little bit today. I mean, really, the life of the Spirit is that childlike. What we talked about the last podcast, really, it's going to translate to this, is that childlike humility. And I think if you stay curious and childlike, it is always like an amusement park with God. And now don't take that literally. I'm not saying God is an amusement park. What I'm saying is there's always an excitement to live with the Holy Spirit because he has so much knowledge and so much lessons to be learned about Jesus, about himself, and about the personhood of God. That living without that, I'm telling you, it would be rigorous religion, duty, trying to prove myself to man and God and never accomplishing freedom in God. Now, I probably feel like a slave, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I had to answer the joke way and the honest way. I will feel like a mm-hmm. slave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's about
how about you? How about you? Would the life lived without the Spirit
I'm probably broke, divorced. I married the wrong person. Certainly wouldn't be doing this podcast with you. I would be governed by myself. I'd be governed by my own ambitions and own will.
You'll be your own God. Oh, come on.
Well, listen, the reality is this. In his presence, there's a fullness of joy.
Fullness.
Now, without the presence of God, there is, I believe, partial joy to be experienced. But the fullness of joy, the fullness of life is in the Spirit, is in the presence of God. So I think there would be spurts of happiness probably in my life, spurts of joy, but not the full fulfillment of it, or sustainable joy in my life. And so like a ship without a sail, I think my life would be just completely lost. And I'm so grateful for more than anything in the world, and I mean this with all my heart, Danny, for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm more grateful for more than anything in the world. I promise you, there's nothing I'm more grateful for than the Holy Ghost. And it has changed my life. It's changed my body. It's changed my perspective. It's changed my outlook on life. I live life now optimistic. I don't live from a place of being a pessimistic person. I don't live, you know, in a state of constant negativity. Not that things don't happen in life, and, you know, but I think there's a hope beyond anything else because I have the Holy Spirit in me. And I know that sounds kind of, you know, a certain way, but I really, nothing really in life can deter me, but so much. Because I think what embodies within the Holy Spirit is hope.
Yeah.
Expectation, optimism. Yeah. There's a hope. There's hope in the supernatural. There's hope in that, you know, that he'll never leave me or nor forsake me. In fact, he sent me a comforter. And we'll get to that in a second. But I, the Holy Spirit is just my guide in life, man. And I know you feel the same way. It's just my guide. And I don't know what I would do without it. I really don't. It's actually scary to think about.
You said something that I wrote down because it got me thinking. I wrote on my paper here, the best is yet to come. So I realized why people without the Holy Spirit, how could you get depressed really easy without the Holy Spirit? How could that other side, you know, you're talking about that you don't live in that other side, but I can see very easy that when you don't live with the Holy Spirit, right, you're not optimistic. You are pessimistic, right? Because there's no to come, right? There's no best. Like when you hear the best is yet to come, I think there's such an anticipation, right? I think even Maranatha started out right? What I mean by like the coming of Christ. I believe, you know, we know for thousands of years they believed it, not this religious other reason why Jesus is coming for this elite group. But he's coming to establish a kingdom, like many of our forefathers believed that. But I think there was something to be said by them understanding that no matter what you go through in this lifetime, because you said something that the Holy Spirit helps you to sustain things, right? And sustain past, I believe, the material, the sustaining power is a spiritual power. It's just actual spiritual being. And what I mean by that, it also made me think of Matthew 5:45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rays to the righteous and the unrighteous, right? So the good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people, right? But the best is yet to come is that no matter whether you are good or bad in the sense of the nature, whether you have some or you don't have some, you know, the Lord is going to rain on everyone, right? There's going to be rain from heaven for those who are willing to catch it. But there's such a level that the Spirit will bring you that goes beyond anything in the natural. And to other people, it might seem delusion, but you're so fixated on the heavenly, which is now, not the heavenly where you're going. I'm not talking about I'm going somewhere. The heavenly supernatural that's happening right now, that even in the natural state we'll call a bad place or season, whatever you want to say, or you're down today in the sense of, you know, financial woes or whatever it is, you're always up because the best is yet to come, because you always live in anticipation of the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's always, I can see how somebody can get bent out of shape and depressed when they don't have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding them.
Yep. Yep.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Keep going.
No, because your eyesight at that point is so temporal. We were talking about that earlier, right? The short-sightedness. This short. Go ahead. Go take us.
No, that's where I was going. No, I think you have an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
You have an eternal perspective. You have a divine perspective. You're not entangled with the cares of this world. I didn't write that down, actually. That's in the Bible.
No.
But I think I don't know how to describe it. I think you said it best, and I'll phrase it like this. When you have the Holy Spirit living inside your heart, you will see the best of God in the worst of times.
Come on. Say that again.
I'm going to say that again.
Say that again.
When you have the Holy Spirit in operation, in activation, when it dominates your life, when it dominates your prison, you will see the best of God in the worst of times.
I'm
not alarmed by what's happening in the culture today. You know, I'm not alarmed by anything that happens in our sphere of influence, right? I'm not totally alarmed because I believe of the capability of the power of the Holy Ghost that we'll see the best of God in the worst of times.
Yeah.
And that's a hope that we have. Again, the supernatural, the spirit is not ruled by time. And so when you're living outside of time, life is different.
And I love the way you put that. I loved it. I wrote this down when you said it that way. Because how, and this is the question, and it's rhetorical for you and I, but if you want to answer it, that's fine. How many people give up their inheritance in God for such temporal moments?
Yeah.
Like you and I, I've seen it all the time. Like we've seen it this last week, right? With some business stuff that we're doing, right? We see how people easily want, like, what can you give me right now? But they have no, they're so short-sighted, right? That they can't see beyond today, beyond tomorrow. That's why sin creeps in, right? That's why we continue to miss the mark with God, right? Because we're wanting things outside of time, and we wanted things when we're not even mature enough to handle them. So because we have such a tempo, like, I need it now, I want it now.
Come on,
dude. And we don't like the process of the teaching of the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is teaching us Jesus. That's where we got to land. We're going to land in here a little bit about the Holy Spirit teaching us Jesus. But he's teaching us the process of Jesus's life. He's teaching us how to live like Jesus, how to move like Jesus, how to be like Jesus. I got to say that again, right? Mm-hmm. We know Acts 17. This is so good. Acts 17, well, in him we live and move and have our being, right? And it says, therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we are not to think of that the divine nature is like gold or silver, stone, something shaped by, meaning the divine nature that God is having us walk has nothing to do with this temporal world. And so the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to live like Jesus, how to move like Jesus, and how to be like Jesus. And so the process of Jesus is teaching us. And sometimes we want to go so much ahead of our process. And again, me and you will see this every week, every day, because of the responsibility God has given us to be with people, right? And as we meet with people, all of this sometimes, and you said it today while we were at lunch, sometimes it's to tell people to just slow down and relax.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's as simple as a lesson of, I feel the Holy Ghost of this, I feel like crying.
Yeah.
It's as simple as like, yo, hallelujah. Slow down, man. What are you, where are you trying to get? Like, their minds are trying to get somewhere, and they I got to achieve this, and I got to, and it's like, they like a little wild, crazy kid that don't know how to just, like, you take a kid that doesn't know how to mind himself, and you take him to a store that has candy and toys, and it's going, they want everything they see. Right?
Come on, man.
But they got to walk to maturity. The mature kid walks into a store and sees all that, and is not really moved by it. It's like, it's there. I can want it. A kid's like, I want it right now. And they start screaming and grabbing. And you can tell that that's the age of the kid, right? We all been through it. We all had kids. If you had kids, you went to the store one time, and your kid went buck wild in the store for something. But that was the age. So imagine at 15 years old, them doing that. That's not cute at 15.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute at 2 because they don't understand it, right? They're like, I just want it all. I want that Barbie doll. I want that candy. Like every aisle they see, like that's the most favorite thing they want. And it's like, whoa, slow down, relax, kid. First of all, it costs money for all of this. There's a price to pay for everything that's in this place. Mm. So we can't just have everything without just walking. We got to pay a price for it. Number one. Number two, you don't have a storehouse big enough for all of it anyway, right? You don't have room bigger. So all these things ahead of our time, I'm going somewhere with this. We didn't know the Holy Spirit was going to lead us this way. But he's trying to teach us how to live like Jesus. I'm going to say this again. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Live, move, and be. Live like Jesus is understanding some shit, right? That he's the firstborn. And I wrote this down earlier before I even got to this. Move like Jesus, full obedience, right? Unto death. Be like Jesus in the fruit of the Spirit. We can get into that later. But the Holy Spirit is teaching us the process of Jesus. And I think a lot of times we want to be the full, mature inheritance sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, Jesus. and not being that curious kid that left his parents when his parents left him in the town.
Yeah. There's a sense of chaos when you don't live in the spirit, man. I think the Ruach, right? The breath of God. Just take a breath. I think when you live in a carnal conscious and not the God conscious, and living in the spirit is the God conscious, and we've coined it, got the God conscious, there's this element of chaos that surrounds you, right? Anxiety that just is always around you, a cloud of anxiety, a cloud of chaos around you. But when you, because it's about knowing, right? Knowing what's going to happen, knowing, and we talked about this at lunch today, about how the ploy of the enemy, even in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that the serpent was cunning. Yeah. And so he had an element of intelligence that accompanied him, right? He was very witty, cunning, just this element of intelligence, right? And so, but his ploy was to exchange knowledge for worship. See, and that's part of our downfall in the carnal realm, right? We want to know. We got to know. How about we just be? How about we just be and we just walk with God in the cool of the day? See, worship and the presence of God just begins to evaporate chaos.
Yeah.
Right? You become desensitized to the world around you, and you're more sensitive to the world in you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We got to be God conscious minded in that regard, right? In a sense of that the world around me affect, the world in me affects the world around me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that again. The world in me impacts and affects the world around me. Not the world around me affecting the world in me. And so that's the dynamic of the God conscious, that when things are all over the place, it seems like at least, that I can rely on my worship, I can rely on living in the spirit, and then all of a sudden, poof, not that problems go away, but you see life differently. You see the issue is not the problem. The issue is not the challenge. The issue is not the struggle. The issue is not the difficulty. The issue is the prism of how I see it.
Yeah.
It's not the issue. The issue is never the issue. It's how I see the issue. And if we can begin to gird ourselves and begin to discipline ourselves to live by the Spirit of God, which is taking on the personality of Jesus, because when you take on the personality of Jesus, that becomes your reality. I'm going to say that again.
Come on, say it again.
Taking on the personality of Jesus becomes your reality. The personality of Jesus is developed by the fruit of the Spirit.
Again, I got to say this. Mm-hmm. Live like Jesus. So the first thing I believe the Holy Spirit teaches you is understanding sonship. And we got to get, because so much you're saying. And I got so many things going through my head when you say it. Because I want to get to, you know, John describes what the world looks like, right? And he describes it as, and the world is passing away with the lust of the flesh, for all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's exactly what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. The lust of the flesh. And what do I mean by that? If you look at the temptation of Jesus, right? And I believe the first thing that the enemy attacks is for us not to understand who we are in Jesus as a son. Like, so the Holy Spirit has to teach you sonship, right? That he was the firstborn of this new lineage, of this new inheritance, of this new group on earth. And I got to know that I'm adopted, I got to know that I will not be left orphaned. I feel the Holy Ghost in this. I'm not an orphan. I am a son. I got to read this. For the Holy Spirit, it says in John 14, 6-8, and I will pray for the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I love this. He says, I will not leave you orphan. That word orphan is aphonos in Greek, which is not having a teacher. I will not leave you without a teacher. I will come to you. I'm going to have someone teach you, meaning your orphanhood is taken care of when you understand the teacher teaching you who you really are in God. So we have a lot of folks living as orphans because they are not grouped with the Holy Spirit. So they don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach them out of their orphanhood. So they still orphans in the flesh because they still looking at the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Mm-hmm. They still try to validate themselves. They still trying to go. It is not a coincidence that Jesus, when he gets tempted by Satan, the first thing he does, what's the first thing he does? He said, it is written, man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word of the preacher. Then the devil took him. And I wrote this down. Sorry, I'm going all over the place here. I'm all over the place here because this is so good. Where was it that I just wrote this down the other day and I got to just going to find it. Oh, my goodness. Where was it? I don't find it, but that's okay. So here the enemy does the lust of the flesh. So the first thing that he does to get you outside of your sonship is to highlight your flesh. That's why religion is such an important attack against the sonship of God. Because what religion does, it keeps you always highlighting the flesh. Mm-hmm. Religion always keeps you highlighting the flesh. It always keeps you in a sense of morality, not in the sense of identity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
No, so here, I mean, go ahead. Keep going.
So the lust of the flesh. So Jesus, eat of this bread. I'm going to attack your flesh. I'm going to attack that you're hungry. Then he did what? You said it early, the eyes. Then he attacked the eyes. All of this is stealing away from what? Sonship. Then he says, he told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you in their hands. So he's telling Jesus, show me your performance. I got to see you perform. So he'll either get you with your flesh or he'll get your performance. I'm going somewhere with this. The last thing, so that's the lust of the eye. The last thing is what? The lust of the flesh. So what does he tell him? He says, it is written, you shall not be tempted, Lord your God. Now, I'm not going to prove myself. I'm not performed. So first thing he does, he attacks his flesh. Then he attacks his performance. You need to show me something. He's like, nah. Then he said this to him. And again, the devil took him up an exceeding the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said this to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and do what? Worship me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll attack your flesh. I'll have you perform, or I'm going to have you worship. All of it to steal what? The first thing that the Holy Spirit comes to give you, which is what? Your identity as a son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is giving you to live like Jesus, which is what? Live in full assurance that you are a son, yet you're not an orphan. Remember, I just read it. I will not leave you orphans. If you go down to verse 26 and 14, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, the word teach, the dasko, which means to, I love this, to instruct, to explain, to expound, to impart, to hold discord with you. He would teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I have said. So the Holy Spirit is here to keep you away from orphanhood. To let you know that you're not an orphan, that you are a son. That you are a son that God has given some inheritance to. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you that, he's teaching you the life of Jesus. But the first thing that he would teach you is the sonship of Jesus, which many people are still living in orphanhood.
Mm-hmm. No,
I said a mouthful there.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I was just sitting there enjoying it and soaking it in what you were sharing. I mean, to me, the greatest thing to hit the earth since Jesus ascended was the Holy Spirit. It's the greatest thing that hit the earth. By the way, it's a person. I love that you read John 4:26. It's the hallmark, the mantra. It is everything to me personally. And I'm not just saying that from a teaching standpoint. You know, this is the thing that is, it's probably one of my favorite passages of scripture in all the Bible. He's an advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you Part things?
All things.
Some things.
All things.
All things. Well, what career do I choose? All things. Who do I marry? All things. How many children do we have? All things. What do I put in my body to eat? All things. How much money should I invest? All things. Should I start a business and be an entrepreneur? All things.
Come on.
What car do I buy? All things. All things.
All things.
And he does what? He will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And we know this when Peter begins to preach in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God begins to fall upon them. And then he begins to teach Jesus, basically. John references Jesus and on and on and on, where we see the disciples even disseminating the teachings of Jesus through their messages. Why? Because it fulfilled prophecy, right? The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, right? And bring back to your remembrance, right? This is such an essential passage of scripture that I think has been taught on, but from a day-to-day standpoint, Danny, is overlooked. It's overlooked that my complete reliance upon the Holy Spirit dictates my whole entire life. My whole entire life, right? And so yeah. I think, you know, when we look at the fact that the church for the last, I don't know how many years, has really, really held its hat on moralism and not spiritualism, right? And it's this notion that we, you know, we can't conform to New Age teaching, when in fact New Age came from us.
Mm.
It came from the Spirit of God.
Don't say that too loud.
We didn't come from New Age. I said it with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's so silly. And so I just believe that if we can begin to rewire our thinking and let the mind of Christ be the predominant thing that's in our brain, the God conscious be in our brain, it would help us even disseminate information. Because the information that we needed to hear for thousands of years, hundreds of years, has been we need to be more spiritual than moral.
Yeah.
See, moralism is a secondary consequence of being spiritual. My behavior modifications are dictated by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so again, having the Holy Spirit in you fortifies your sonship. It fortifies your sonship, right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a son. I am a son.
No.
Because I have the Spirit of God in me. When you go to Romans chapter 8, verses 11, the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus, right, shall quicken your, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, shall quicken your mortal body, right? Yeah. So the dynamic is this. The same Spirit, the same Christos, that was in Jesus resides in me. We've got to fathom this, Danny, that the glory of God is in us.
Well, and Jesus himself,
oh,
Holy Spirit himself is Jesus. Jesus himself is in you. No, we don't understand it.
Yes.
We don't understand it.
Yes.
We don't understand.
God is in us.
But that's why. Go ahead.
Let me say this real quick. It's a phenomenon. Would you agree? It's a phenomenon to know that the Spirit of God, that Jesus is living inside of me.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
some temple on Sunday morning. Not some building on Sunday morning.
It's a mystery.
He's living inside of me.
A mystery.
And he says in the scripture, quicken your mortal bodies, not body. Now that's another teaching for another day. That's going to freak some people out when we go there. But I think what I'm trying to say, and I don't want to cut you off, is that it's a phenomenon.
Good.
It's a phenomenon that we've downplayed. Because we've downplayed it because the Holy Spirit doesn't have any boundaries. It doesn't have any limits.
You mean it's freedom?
And okay. See, organized religion, organized institutions dumb down the wildness of the Holy Spirit, the creativity, the curiosity of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so I'll let you jump in there, man.
No. We're good. You took me to so much you said, but it took me to Colossians. You know, we love the scripture. To him God called will make known what are the riches and the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery? What is the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? That is a mystery. That is a wild. That is the wild.
It is.
But
to me, one of the more powerful scriptures that we don't read too often is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, and I believe 40. I've got to read this to you. This is obviously Hebrews 11 is infamous for the Hall of Faith.
The Hall of Faith. Yeah, yeah.
As we know it, go study the whole chapter. It's a phenomenal recollection of some of the heroes of the faith, of the Old Testament, and how they're heralded. But I love 39 and 40. And don't laugh when I read this to you. And all these things having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Uh-oh. You mean to tell me Abraham didn't receive the promise? You mean to tell me that Jacob didn't receive the promise? Isaac? You mean to tell me that Moses didn't receive the promise? Can I read that again, Danny?
Yeah.
As much as we herald these people, these heroes, and all these that I just mentioned, the names, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us.
Come on.
That they should not be made perfect apart from us. This is absolutely powerful. And I want you to underline this in your Bibles. Something better for us. As much as the heroes of the faith, as much as what they have done, we have something better because the Spirit of God was upon them. Now he resides in us.
Come on, man.
God. I
love 40, but now God has invited us to live in something better than what they have faithfulness. This is so that they could be brought to the finished perfection alongside of us.
Yeah.
Meaning we take him there. We take him there by us fulfilling fullness of the Spirit. We take him there. Like the us living.
The indwelling of Christ is better.
Come on.
The indwelling of Christ is better. I'm going to say that again. The indwelling of Christ is better.
I need to go here because this is, I got to go back to Acts. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. In him, in the Holy Spirit, I live like Jesus. I move like Jesus. I will be like Jesus. I am to be like Jesus. I am to just be. And I want to go back to this because you was dealing with the orphanhood. And again, that's why I believe that the Holy Spirit's job to teach us Jesus. Number one, the first thing he does, he deals with the orphanhood by revealing us sons. We have to understand what we are. Then he teaches us to move like Jesus with full obedience. But I want to read this because you read Romans 8, and I was reading here the rest of it while you was talking here. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the, and I know you love this here, because here, sonship or heroes is in this letting the Holy Spirit lead you. Mm-hmm. Now, being led by the Holy Spirit, something phenomenal, because he's not going to skip processes in our lives to get us to be like Jesus. Our job, our main thing on earth as sons and daughters is to image Christ.
Uh-oh.
That is, you have to image Jesus. Like when they take a piece out of your fruit, and I'm not talking about the fruit of the Spirit yet. I'm talking about full obedience. Like Jesus lived in full obedience to God, right? He showed us what God is. Holy Spirit is showing us what Jesus is. I'm going to say it again. Jesus teaches us what God is. Like, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. He tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
In John 14, in the beginning of John 14 that we read, in the beginning, when the disciples were like, show us the Father, he said, if you see me, you see the Father.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You don't have to go any further. Just look at me.
Yeah.
And here, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit, because you ended that in John 14, he will bring remembrance all things that I said to you. If you want to know what I look like, look at the Holy Spirit. Because when he leads you, he's going to lead you into the fullness of what I walked in on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a full buy-in and a full obedience. Again, if you're dealing with orphanhood, I believe you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you into understanding your sonship and to lead you to understand Jesus' sonship. Because once you understand Jesus' sonship, you understand yours. But he doesn't stop there. He didn't stop with just identifying you. Now he said, like, let's walk as sons. Well, what is walking as sons? Well, full being led by the Holy. I am in full obedience to what he tells me. That's my maturity. My maturity is attached to my obedience. I got to say that again. I'm going to say that again loud. My maturity is attached to my obedience. I know we don't talk about obedience much anymore. But we have to obey the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's leading. Look, I just got to read it. Led by the Spirit is either mature as a God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children, technon, and of technon, then heirs, and then of heirs, then of God. Meaning, this is a transition. I go from a child to an heir, then understanding my jointness with Jesus. And indeed, if we suffer with him, we also may also be glorified. So this obedience unto dying to the flesh that we don't want to talk about. But if you're led by the Spirit, there's an indeed a suffering with him that you're going to have to walk on this earth so you can get the fullness of the imagery of Jesus out of you. I got to see the Holy Spirit led man, I'm telling you, is a dead man walking. You can't be Holy Spirit dead and still have some of you alive. It doesn't work like that because we didn't see it in Jesus. Jesus did not do anything of himself. I only do John 5 what I see my Father do. There was such a connection about him showing you the Father. And here he says, I got to leave so that the Holy Spirit can show you me. So that when they see you, you represent the fullness of heaven. You represent that on earth. I got to read one more scripture. Don't do me. Galatians 4:4-7. Galatians 4:4-7 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those who were under law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. To what you said earlier. That's a mystery, that the spirit of the son of God is in your heart. And you cry out, Abba, Father. Not just saying, see, we look at that as like, oh, Abba, Father. No, that Abba, Father is whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. See, we look at Abba, Father here in such a sensationalist way, in such as like, oh, I'm just crying. Yeah, I'm just saying hallelujah. No. We're not talking about all that. We're talking about Abba, Father is I am full surrender. Therefore, you are no longer slave, but a son, and a son, then heir of God through Christ. So Christ has opened the door for us to be like him on earth. And then the Holy Spirit is teaching us every single day to be like him. So we live like Jesus in understanding of full sonship. We move in full obedience. That's what moving like Jesus looked like. And then I can rest and I'm just be like him. And so then everybody that takes a bite out of me as I move on this earth, you said something earlier that sparked this mindset. I don't have to learn how to be loved when I'm in the spirit.
No.
I don't have to learn how to have joy when I'm in the spirit.
No.
I don't have to learn. We teach these things outside of the reality of themselves. I'm going to say that again. That sounded so good. We teach love, joy, peace outside of the reality of themselves. The reality is that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, greatness, and self-control are who the Holy Spirit is.
1,000%.
And when you live and move and have his being, that's what's going to come out.
Yeah.
Is the being of Jesus. So what's the being of Jesus? Love. Joy, well, peace, go ahead.
I got to go back to Romans 8 and 11, because what you're saying, everything you're saying is capitalizing it. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who was raised from the dead dwells in you. He was raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Therefore, his spirit who dwells in you.
You said Romans 8:11.
Yeah, man, this is prolific in so many ways. You just said a mouthful, and I'm trying to figure out where to begin because you hit on so much, D, in that regard, man. And we've got to understand how prolific that is. We got to begin to understand the importance of that, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies. And what happens is when the Spirit of God comes into our hearts, Danny, when it comes into our lives, when it dwells in you, right, it quickens the mortality out of your body. I'm going to say that again. When the Holy Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken mortality out of your body. Your body will change because the essence of being Jesus is to be spiritual.
Yeah.
Because the essence of being Jesus in the earth is all about walking in the Spirit.
100%.
So you're going to change. You're going to look different, right? You're
going to
be more spiritual. Watch this. More spiritual than human. Now let me throw two names out to you. Enoch and Elijah. Old Testament.
My favorite.
They walked with God and there was not. We know the story of Elijah, taken away. Enoch, taken away. I believe that's the floor of what we're meant to walk into. I believe as you begin to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, our bodies become more dense and more dense and more dense, and things around us become dematerialized. Now, we're going to get into some stuff here because I think when you talk about walking in the Spirit, you have the capability of being transfigured.
Well, Jesus did it.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Jesus did it.
If we're going to be like, see, Jesus went to the mountain to go pray. He didn't go be transfigured. He went to the mount to pray. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the mountain of prayer. It's the mountain of oneness. The Holy Spirit had to crack it up. As a secondary consequence, he transfigures.
Yeah.
And so that's the level of living that we're all called to, and I believe have a responsibility to, knowing that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, right? Such a phenomenon.
Which is so I know it's so powerful because it's the very Godhead living in us. It's the very Godhead living in you. Like when you begin to start falling into that and understanding what's happening at that moment, to your point, I love the way this translates. I'm just reiterating what you said because I'm just reading through another translation. Verse 10 and 11. Now Christ lives his life in you.
Yep.
And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. I will say that again, because you are fully accepted by God. Sonship. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you.
Come on, D.
Meaning there is a metamorphosis process of the spirit. And I think that's the key. If we want to land in anything today, it's like the Holy Spirit is processing Jesus in us so that we can live, move, and be like him on earth. But when we live to that fullness of that, the capabilities and the possibilities are endless when we understand who this Holy Spirit is.
What's the first mention of the fruit of the Spirit? What's the first mention?
Love.
So when that's so powerful, man. When you mentioned that a few minutes ago, love.
It is the fulfillment of everything.
You mentioned dying to self, right? Jesus was crucified. Paul says, "I've been crucified. I has been invaded by Christ, by the Christos. Nature now has been invaded by the Christos.
No longer I that live.
Crucified. You know, and it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. Because he could have came off that cross. That was easy.
Any moment.
You know what kept him on the cross? You know what? Love kept him on the cross. As you said that, I would begin to think about that. His hands were pierced. Hands represent service. So everything is crucified, right? How I serve, right? How I love people. His feet were crucified wherever he goes. It's ordained by the Spirit.
Yeah. Right?
The crown of thorns represent his consciousness, right? The carnal consciousness being pierced, right? The carnal mind, right? In exchange for the God consciousness, right? The crown of thorns, right? And so in order to, you know, operate in that capacity, you've got to have the Spirit of God. And the capacity of the Spirit of God is to first demonstrate love.
Yeah.
To your point. Love.
Well, that's right? that's the isness of and God. So, that's the being of God. Go ahead.
So now what I was going to say is the fruit of the Spirit in operation tames the mortal body, the carnal body.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they fight against each other.
They're in
it. That's the war. The war is that your flesh doesn't want peace, but the Spirit does.
The Spirit wants to know all things, yea, even the deep things of God.
Yeah.
Deep crieth unto deep.
The flesh doesn't want patience.
No.
The flesh doesn't want kindness. They talk about this one fruit. So I mean, the being. Remember, I talked about. I know I'm hopping on this, but I think this is a powerful revelation. To live like Jesus, to live and move and have my being, the being of Jesus, the essence, the isness, the being of Jesus, is his fruit. Is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit, one fruit. Where we could say all of it encompasses love. That's why the new law that Paul talks about is the law of love. Right, mm-hmm. Jesus continued. You know, people harp on that. He keeps on saying, obey my commandments. But we don't want to say what he says is commandment. And this is my commandment, that you mm-hmm. love one another. Like his commandment, he gives you the response. We'll read half of it. Well, Jesus said, obey his commandment. Yeah, he says, obey his commandment. Well, and this is my commandment, that you love. Love, 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 love. Love, love. So if you want to see the Spirit of God, you want to know that you're moving in the Holy Spirit, that your heart is being tenderized. Remember, he's giving you the same heart. He said, the Spirit of his Son is into your heart. The same Spirit that Jesus walked on the earth, that same heart that he had, you have.
Remember, Jesus said this, though. He said, the two greatest laws are to love God with all your heart, soul, body, and mind, right? And then love people. So again, the Holy Spirit is bringing back to remembrance the teachings of Jesus.
And can I just say this, that you say this? Can I just say this? I know people, I told you, we think we miss, and we say when we love your neighbor as yourself, because we have such a Western mentality of that. So when we read that, we read that through a Western mindset. When you read, I'm glad you said that. This is, when you read Luke's version or Matthew's account of that, love the Matthew 22 or Luke, whenever you read it, love the Lord thy God with your heart, mind, so and say. And the second one is like the first one, meaning worry about the first one, and the second one's going to be like that. Loving your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean that you have to have, I know this is going to mess up some people and you're going to get offended by this, but I don't mean to offend you. There's no way in this that it talks about self-love. That's not what he's talking about there. You missed the point of Jesus if you think he's talking about self-love. No, he's talking about if you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, everything that you want from God, you want your neighbor to have. I'm going to say that again so it can land. Loving your neighbor as yourself, meaning I want God's goodness and God's grace, so I got to give that to my neighbor. It's the heart of Jesus. I want the patience of God. I want the love of God. I want this of God. I want this of God. I want this of God. All right, then give that to your neighbor. Because James says this, how can you say you love God and you don't see him, but you don't love your neighbor that you see because you're not willing to, and he was talking about food at the time, feed them. What are we talking about here? Love your neighbor as yourself, meaning if you want something from God, show that to your neighbor what you want from God. because it's the byproduct of loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. When you love the Lord, the God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and your strength, you are engulfed in being like Jesus on earth. Go ahead.
I really am not loving myself. I'm loving Jesus.
100%. Again, and it's not about a self-evaluating thing. It's about seeing them the way God sees you and wanting from God. That's what he says. And the second one is like the first one. Because you can't detach the second one from the first one, which is pursue God. When you pursue God, you act like him. You talk like him. You walk like him. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to give you that heart of Jesus so that when you walk in the earth and you imaging him on the earth, they can't tell you apart. I can't tell Michael apart from Jesus because he's Jesus. Now, I know that sounds sacrilegious, but it's not. It's the actual, ooh, what the Bible teaches. Ooh. Right? I can't tell, ooh, Jesus apart from Danny. Why? Because he moves and looks like, and he lives and moves and has his being like Jesus.
Ooh. Ooh.
So when I encounter him, I encounter Christ because Christ is living in Michael.
Yes. Yes.
Christ is living in Danny. So there's an imagery that the people are encountering that has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus.
It brings all things to our remembrance. Do you realize that James calls it the implanted word? The book of James in chapter 1 calls it the implanted word. It's implanted. So the Holy Spirit living in you is the implanted words of Jesus. And so we've got to be able to by the Spirit of God, begin to be awakened to the fact that we're one with Jesus, to your point. We're one with him, right? Now, salvation, there's no works to that, but there is work involved with the fruit of the Spirit to work that out, right? To practice that out, right? To be intentional about that, right? And so there is something to that, something to be said about that. And I just really feel like as we begin to get deeper into this thing about living in the Spirit, it goes beyond he's very kind and very nice, but it goes to the fact that there is power, there is the ability to be able to speak things, there's abilities to be able to see things, because when you're living in the Spirit, you're not governed by time, you're governed by eternity. And so when you're governed by eternity, you live by a different set of rules because there are no rules. You're living by the Spirit and you're living as Jesus in the earth. I can't reiterate that enough. You said it. I've said it. I think we've got to understand the capabilities that comes along with being filled with the Holy Ghost, right? The capabilities, 100%. The power, the dominion that we walk in, the authority that we walk in as sons, to your point earlier. All of those things are so the embodiment of walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. You can't interpret the Bible without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit begins to illuminate the Bible. The Holy Spirit decodes the mysteries of the Bible.
Yeah. Oh man, so much. There's so much. This is my last scripture I'm gonna read because I think I want to go into, hopefully, because I'm hearing you, and I think we have to ask a question. We read it 1,000 times, not 1,000 times, that's an exaggeration, but I will not leave you orphans, you know, verse 18, verse 26. With the help of the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send, he will teach you all things. I believe it's a good discussion to have. What is taking the place of the Holy Spirit? Because there's a lot of teachers. And again, this is for hopefully for the next podcast. Right. There's a lot of teachers teaching.
Yeah.
But so the question becomes, what's taking the place of the Holy Spirit? And then if we answer it a certain way, then is men's teaching overriding the Holy Spirit in people?
I'm quiet because I can talk another 2 hours about this.
And so no, because I think we need to hit this in the next podcast.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm going to leave with this in Hebrews, Hebrews 8. But this covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. That word "know" is that intimate seeing word.
Mm-hmm.
For all shall have an intimate knowledge of me, not by just words of men. And again, this is where I want to get into this, because I think we emphasize men talking, and we under emphasize the Holy Spirit talking. And we say the Holy Spirit is talking when it's a man talking, right? And can God use man? Of course he can. But there's a lot of voices today. We have podcasts you guys are listening to. We have YouTube. We have a lot of things that people are saying. But the question for the next podcast is, what is the Holy Spirit saying, and who's taking the place of his voice?
Well, again, I'm going to go back to the serpent. I won't expound too much on what you just asked, but I think the serpent was deliberate about giving information to Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. and having them so distracted by information that the fact they are just walking with God. You can't tell me anything because I'm having this experience with God. This experience is all I need. I don't need information. And so to, in part, answer your question, I think we live in an information age, right? Where there's a lot of information given, but not enough experienced. Let me say that again for the next podcast. A lot of information given, but the information falls to the ground because I'm not having the experiences.
There's no revelation. No illumination.
There you go. The experiences illuminate the information. Oh,
we're going to talk about that. Information versus illumination.
Information versus
illumination. That's for the next podcast. That's for the next podcast. Listen to the next podcast.
Information does no good. It does no good.
Information versus illumination. And we're going to talk about who's taking the place of the Holy. We got to get into this, because you're 100% correct, Mike. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of podcasts and a lot of YouTubing. And I've been telling this to our folks. I'm being honest. If you need to shut off this podcast, we don't listen. We're not the end of all, be all. The Holy Spirit. We want you to know the Holy Spirit, right? There's some folks that, and they know who they listen to the podcast. They're gonna laugh when they hear this. But I've told them, stop listening to 1,000 voices, man. You listen to every YouTube preacher. You listen to 30 podcasts, and you should not listen to the Holy Spirit. Shut all of it off and listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to be nice here, but we got to get into the weeds of this, because we have to get into the weed of this, because we're not seeing maturity on earth. And remember, we read Romans. This thing is for the Holy Spirit leads you into a heuros, a mature sense of sonship. It's not to keep you a babe. The Holy Spirit wants to mature you so that you can have the imagery of Jesus. But there's so much distraction and so much information that is dumped on us that we don't know how to tell. It's information overload right now. And we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate in us the light of Jesus. So we love you guys, man. We're so passionate about this. You don't understand. We feel like jumping through the screen. That's how passionate we are this. Because this teaching of the Holy Spirit is, and still will continue to transform our lives.
You can never grapple with the God conscious without the foundation of the Holy Spirit in your life.
No.
Can't grapple it. You know. So we'll hit that when we get together on the next podcast.
We love you guys. Shalom, Maranatha. We talk to you guys next week, and looking forward to talking more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.